Oh God. Oh my God.
Do we need to like pre-quote with each other real quick?
No, I always like when we ended up with the same quotes. So,
oh, okay, perfect.
Yeah, it doesn't
there
really matter.
There aren't a lot of Nicolas Cage quotes, and I'm pretty sure I got
didn't
mine
even
wrong.
Pick, I didn't pick a Nick Cage
quote. Yeah, no, neither did I. So,
oh, okay. I did pick a Nicolas Cage quote.
Oh, good. Then you're in really good shape.
How many N-words were in it?
Yeah. Did he say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that no, my quote is just that word.
There's a whole lot of fucking epithets in this. I'm gonna have to quack myself on that.
Yeah, you've already recorded it.
My first quacking of myself.
Oh.
It took until season three. I feel pretty good about that, you know.
Coward.
Yeah. Well, I probably said worse shit and then just cut myself out, so don't worry.
Yeah.
And then some guy stole that laptop and now has all of that raw audio.
Yeah.
Oh, that audio is so raw.
Yeah, if there's any like weird shit that anyone hears from me on the internet, that's definitely from some other guy.
It's a deep fake for sure.
Yeah.
Somebody took all the evidence from our podcast and stitched together words.
It's the best way to do it. So how do you guys feel about tap dancing?
I'm pro.
Oh, I was in a show one time in high school. It was Anything Goes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was playing the, I can't remember the guy's name, the cuck, basically, which was good. But like I had to learn a little bit of tap dancing for that. And I don't know if you know, but I'm really hard to like force to learn things or do anything.
Hadn't noticed.
So like making me learn how to tap dance, like I went to like three classes and I was like, this is bullshit. I don't need to tap dance. And then it's like during the show, it's like, yeah, you're going to tap dance during this number. I'm like, fuck.
Did they just give you soft shoes and then they put tap sounds over it?
No, I learned to do the little bits of like I was background tap. I wasn't like.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You were the cuck. You were in the cuck chair.
Yeah.
It was like, look, I'm so excited.
It's a musical and I'm a non-singing character. Let's go that far. That is my energy. But I had a cool workout scene where I had one of those like one piece workout uniforms.
Stripey, yeah.
And I did some like super manly lifts and lunges.
Nice.
There's a, I think it was for season three or season four of New Girl. They did like a little musical, like short thing. And during rehearsal, like Jake Johnson would just be in the back, like pretending to like do the moves.
Yeah.
And the director would be like, you got the shake? He's like, got it. So when they went to film it, he didn't actually know how to do any of it. So in the final like cut, he's just like flailing because he never bothered to learn it.
I mean, if that show is gold.
If you fake shit hard enough, you know, yeah. And that show is really gold. What a good show.
Yeah. One of the few like serialized shows that I've watched that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
So when
welcome back to Cage Match, colon around about way of meeting Nicolas Cage. I'm your host, Sean.
Say the next part.
Here with my co-host.
Okay, next part.
So I was leaving the bar today and like right as I got in my car, I got a text like, Hayden's ex-girlfriend alert. And I'm like, fuck. And I'm like thinking, is this the day that I miss a recording? Because I have to go back inside and meet one of Hayden's exes and talk to them. I mean, you guys would have been fine with that, right? If I ditched out.
If you had
to continue to troll on Hayden.
Yeah, I would have probably respected that.
I mean, everybody's had one absence except me. I'm allowed one.
You got to make it a good one.
That would be
just
a great
a dunk
one.
On our boy. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Yeah. Sorry, Hayden.
Yeah. Long story short. Yeah, it was really hard for me not to engage in a text conversation while driving over here. So I'm just getting texts of like, as I was leaving, I was like, the one in the sports bra. And that just set things off. And I wasn't sure. It was not the one in the sports bra.
Wait.
Was that a new one?
What? No, that was just somebody who was walking in as I was walking out. Oh, sorry. Oh. I'm just naming the only woman I noticed in the bar as I left.
I see. Sports
that
bra.
Wasn't one of our immediate friends who I know has not touched Hayden's penis.
Do we know that anyone has?
We know one person has.
Are you talking about a parent when she was a child?
Yeah, Susie. Hayden doesn't ever listen to this podcast, so he can't get mad at that joke.
That's true.
That's true. Right. Hayden's got a hot mom. But to be honest, I'd Greco-Roman wrestle his dad any day.
Like, just for funsies?
Yeah, just all greased up. What was that movie? Was it The Ladies Man? Where at the end, there's like a Will Ferrell wrestling, like, baby oil scene.
Oh, man. I have no idea.
I think it was The Ladies Man. Somebody comments, please tell me what movie I'm thinking about. I cannot.
Which oiled up Will Ferrell movie is Nick referring to? Also, he's Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's my co-host. And our producer.
Hi, I'm Peter.
And in this podcast, we sometimes talk about Nicolas Cage movies. Not this week. He's in it, but it's not his film.
It's tough, these early phase movies, because he really is not a feature.
Well, he's got more of a character in this, at least.
Totally.
Like, he is actually a featured actor.
Yes. Yeah. Among fucking 50.
Well, he's got a great cast. Yeah. Sorry, Sean. We're just going to.
Yeah, you're getting steamrolled.
No, I was going to say, this is the first time we've really seen him, seen that like budding of that character actor we've come to love so well.
Totally. Yeah. That was my one critique of this entire thing. Let me get right to the Nick Cage judgment.
Also, we're talking about Cotton Club.
It felt like proto Nick Cage, and he was just sort of like kicking the tires.
Yeah.
And, you know, didn't have enough time to really like do his thing. And I wanted more.
Yeah. At this point, how much more do you think Francis Ford Coppola was going to give his young nephew in his first like featured role? Well, no, because he had Valley Girl already.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Valley Girl came out already.
And then he gave him Peggy Sue after this. So like, it's not like he quit.
Yeah. But it's not like he liked Cage's decision-making skills in Peggy Sue.
True.
So like, I'm sure there was a little more control by Coppola and a little less willingness to explore from Cage. So I think it was a little both.
Yeah, that's probably right.
But he had a pretty straightforward role. He played the brother of
Richard the main Gere's character. Dixie.
Yeah, Richard Gere.
Dixie Dwyer. I liked Richard Gere's creep ass mustache.
I love a pencil mustache.
It was really working for me. I don't know why. And like, Cage also has kind of a shitty like creeper stash, but Gere's is real on point.
It was a good time for that. Everybody looks like John Waters.
This is a proper period piece of like the late 1920s, early 1930s. Cause we get Nick Cage, high waisted pants, suspenders, no shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to say unabashed N-words.
Well, that too is of an era.
You guys made it seem like there were so many more. There are like six.
There's a lot in there.
There's not.
When I'm not watching a Tarantino film,
yeah,
more than one set of phalanges
yeah
worth of N-words.
Larry Moore.
It's more than I'm accustomed to in a day.
Yeah. Larry Fishburne dropped like five.
Larry.
It's the white people ones that are the harder ones. And you're right. There's only about six of those, but you add them all together. No, it's a lot.
Those are the hard R ones.
Yeah, that's true. I do like how they beat the shit out of that one bouncer, though.
Oh, yeah. Which is to say, Lawrence Fishburne's character beats up a white guy who was being
a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you already told us what like you wanted more of from this film, which is more Cage. I wanted more of any fucking narrative in this film, because there's like three or four through lines that all just kind of are happening around each other.
Yeah.
But there's no real build to anything, because to the Fishburne bathroom beating, that starts off because, I have IMDb open up here because it's a pretty decent, pretty spectacular cast. Gregory Hines's characters, and he's a dancer. He's a tap dancer. He's a featured artist at the Cotton Club.
Yes.
Yeah, he's in love with a singer. And like the stage director keeps telling him like, keep your hands off the merchandise, and like, you know, kind of roughs him up a bit. So Gregory Hines, Sandman's like, I'm gonna kill him. And gets Fishburne, who is a gangster, to like deal with it.
Well, he's a pimp.
Yeah. Bumpy roads.
Yeah.
Years pass, and that dealing with it is a bathroom beating many years later.
Which is fairly large for this Jim Crow era.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty bold ass move.
Yeah.
I mean, considering people are getting like shot down into the street in this movie, meh.
I mean, they did make him like lick the toilet and swirlied him.
So. Oh, yeah. They swirlied him real good.
Pretty,
and I like
pretty
that
power move.
You're right. This movie could have had a much tighter connection. It's 2 hours and like 8 minutes or something like that.
And it feels like four.
I mean, it feels lengthy. You feel every minute and maybe a few extra. They could tighten the script up. They could define some of these stories that are in it. It is pretty central about Dwyer and Vera and their relationship with Dutch, the gangster.
Yeah, and Oni.
Yeah.
Played by Hoskins, Bob Hoskins.
Yeah.
Fucking great role. He's like such a lovable guy until he's like, I will chop your head off. And you're like, you will.
Yeah, that's fair. I get it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like to try and summarize this is tough because you're right. There are sort of like a couple different arcs, and the only ones that really matter are Dixie and Vera, kind of tangentially to that, and then Sandman, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's just the major arcs are say like the Dixie and the Sandman arcs, and Cage's character is involved with the Dixie Dwyer story,
right? Brothers,
not so much in the Sandman story. Also, hey, we got two pairs of brothers here.
Oh, yeah.
Because Sandman's brother, who is also Gregory Hines' real brother, is in the movie.
Yeah.
And they're dance partners. So two brother stories.
Until Sandman betrays them.
Hey, they get tight again.
Yeah, the kiss of fame, man.
Yeah.
And then an actual brotherly kiss on the lips later.
Yeah, they really went for it.
They got all three.
Yeah. Brother loving.
Mm-hmm.
No, I liked their characters actually a lot. One, I like dancing and tap dancing was cool. I also think that era is really impressive what they were doing. You know, having to perform for a shit ton of white people, probably not great.
Yeah. Especially white people like Nicolas Cage who heckle you as he walks to his shitty table.
Yeah. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he was.
I will say, taking that aspect out of the era, just the old nightclub scene though is so fascinating because like now if I want to see live music, I got to buy tickets 3 months out to go see a show I want. Whereas before the, you know, advent of
the internet, it was local. It was always locals only.
Yeah. It was locals only. You went and saw people you knew, like it was like a community and that's what culture was. And, I don't know. I was like, oh, that's cool. I wish we had that.
Yeah, and more commonly it was you go to the club you go to and who's performing is who's performing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even following like a marquee.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so this is like partially a love letter to like the actual Cotton Club. You know, it's somewhat historical drama. I don't know how much of the characters are based on real people other than like, you know, Cab Calloway's it like they have Cab Calloway on stage at one point.
Charlie Chaplin is like in the audience and he does his little potato dance trick. Yeah. Classic. Was
there's no like, other way you would recognize that it was him. It's like, oh, fucking Hitler's here too. That's cool.
They didn't even give him the stash.
Yeah. I mean, it was the '30s. He was still an artist.
That's right.
Yeah. But the basic premise of the film is, you know, there is a looming potential gang war tension. Richard Gere's character Dixie is a musician just trying to like make his get his big break and accidentally winds up saving Dutch, a gangster, from an assassination attempt and becomes kind of his driver, his go-to man, like at, you know, on pain of death. That doesn't seem to matter very long because he gets out and I don't know. Then it kind of just loses the plot. The last 45 minutes picks up, but like there's a whole bit in the middle where he goes off to Hollywood.
The second act is very much less of a Dixie Dwyer story as that's, I think, where it picks up more of the Sandman story. Like the second act is where both characters kind of get into their big moment. And Dixie, he leaves for Hollywood, but Sandman, he gets into like his solo career. So yeah, it stays local with him while Dixie goes out. And then as Sandman and his brother make up in the third act, Dixie comes back and resolves his story. That's kind of how I took it.
Yeah.
Or where I would address that.
I did like when the mobsters are like evaluating if Dixie's a good candidate to go to Hollywood. They're like, he's a terrible actor, but he doesn't look like a fruit.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not a fruit or a commie. Yeah.
But like, I'm not quite sure why Hoskins sends him to Hollywood. Like, he does it as a favor to get him out of from under Dutch.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why.
Hoskins is a sweetheart. I mean, everybody seems to actually really like his character. I mean, he's a piece of shit and he's a bad guy, but he's also like kind of doing good stuff.
This movie has such a wild swing in the third act, because the first act is gangland, mobster film. The second act's more about like backstage drama at these clubs, competing clubs. And the third act just leans right into kind of some magical realism and breaks like the fourth wall, breaks like a wall between like this, what's happening on stage and like what's happening in like people's lives. And it ends with like a really weird kind of like staged soul wave to the camera.
Yeah, the ending is super weird.
I loved it. I loved the end of this movie. Like, yeah, the last 20 minutes of this movie, I was riveted.
I think that was part of my problem with this, is like I had a really, really hard time. I just was distracted a lot by like literally anything else other than the movie, even though I was really enjoying it. Like, the music was great. The acting, I think, is pretty solid. The cast is amazing. I think the directing was pretty good.
There's really good moments of writing. Like, there's some good character interactions.
Yeah. But yeah, like I wasn't captured ever.
I was able to just let this movie kind of play out. And yeah, I was really enjoying elements of it. Like, throughout, I really enjoy this movie, to be frank. But yeah, if something came up and I looked at my phone, I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to miss, like, they're not making like split second, like, character moments. It's the movie's long enough. Like, all development happens in a span of time.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, and this happened, so I missed a beat in the film. I was able to just be like, oh, okay, like, I'm enjoying and just experiencing the film in my day.
We don't have to say where you pirated your film, but was your audio super fucked up?
No, mine was okay.
Okay, mine was terrible.
Mine was fine.
It was like very delayed. So that also really threw me off.
I had a problem with the subtitles originally. And as soon as we were like, these subtitles, like, what's going on? Because it looked like they were just mentally speaking to each other, like Dixie and Vera at one point.
Nice.
And then like a whole scene later, this dialogue starts to happen. And it's like, oh, okay, no, fucking shut the subtitles.
Everything
off.
Is
it's
fucked fine. On these.
I'll struggle. I'll use my ears like God intended.
I also had no subtitles.
Yeah, it's fine.
I did
my audio was okay
times,
though,
so.
Mine had subtitles, but they would come and go. Like, they would just turn themselves off.
Cool.
Yeah, I just manually turned them off. I took control of that situation.
So, okay, the cast of characters is great, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everyone is good. Fishburne's in there. Diane Lane, super hot as usual. Like, I liked her as a brunette. I liked her as a blonde. She was a good, like, flapper era type person.
We got Tom Waits again.
Tom Waits was back in there. I liked his scratchy ass voice.
Yeah. I had to go back and ask Josie where Tom Waits was, because I never recognized his face, even though we just saw him in the last film, too.
Yeah. Well, he looked really different as Benny.
Yeah. And this was a very quick scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is also the least Tom Waits I feel like Tom Waits has ever looked.
Probably true. Yeah. I mean, the most Tom Waits is probably
Rumblefish.
Oh, that superhero. No, the superhero movie. Mystery Man.
Oh, yeah.
Mystery Man.
But one of my favorites was probably fucking Frenchie. That dude is
Frenchie's
great.
My favorite, yeah. Dude.
Frenchie's such a good character just in general. And then, like, the fact that that was Herman Munster is awesome. Like, right? Yeah.
Wait, was that,
that was the was best he Herman written, Munster? Best acted.
Yeah, he was Herman Munster. He's Fred Gwynne.
Yeah.
Oh, I love yeah, that best written, so much. Best
acted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He stole the show every time he was on the scene.
Well, there's this whole weird scene, and this goes to my whole, like, how disjointed this film is. There's a scene with him and Hoskins where Frenchie gets kidnapped by Nick Cage.
For reasons?
Hoskins pays for ransom, just for ransom, yeah, for $50,000. And like,
Cage felt he was owed.
Yeah. And like, Frenchie gets back, you know, and starts giving Hoskins shit for like only paying $500 ransom and like breaks Hoskins' watch. And then Hoskins like, I paid $50,000. And then Frenchie gives him a gift and it's a new, better watch. So it was just a joke.
Yeah. Dude, I fucking love that. That's probably one of my favorite scenes in the film.
100%. It was a great scene.
He just shows up and he's like, you know what? I got this boy of mine. I'm going to troll him. Like, yes, I was just taken hostage and I know my dude paid 50 grand for me. I'm going to come in hot. I'm going to accuse him of shortchanging my life. I'm going to destroy his property, but I'm going to replace it with something like leaps and bounds better because I know he just shelled out shit tons of money for my life. So he's getting from my heart, like a thank you, dude.
Great scene. Not saying it's not a great scene.
Weird, it's hilarious.
It's weird structurally in a narrative.
Everything.
Yes.
I think every Frenchie scene exists kind of in its own story. Like it's its own movie.
Yeah, I would take that movie.
He does not. He barely fits into this film, and I love it.
He's just a giant, kind of intimidating dude who talks a little slow.
He looks like a fucking Frankenstein. Yeah. It's like there's a reason he was Herman Munster.
Yeah. And his name is Frenchie. And he's just kind of like your goofball comedy element to a movie that never asked for a goofball comedy element.
That was what, that's my quote though, was someone says, what about your nickname? Frenchie? He says, that's different. I'm trustworthy.
That's my quote too.
Cause Frenchie doesn't trust anyone with a nickname.
Yeah.
Is the back of it. All right. You guys both gave your quote, I just want to give mine, which is just when
the N-word.
They get to the cotton cup for the first time.
You can't do that, Sean.
All right, go ahead. Take a fresh one on that.
Nicolas Cage is just hollering at the dancers, and he says, look at the rump on that one, just because I love the word rump.
Yeah, rump. I love
colloquialisms for butt.
Yeah, that is good. He was so awkward going back to their table, like standing by the stage and like hollering at all the dancers where like clearly nobody else does that at this club.
Yeah.
You could see their outsiderisms kind of really showing in that sort of thing.
I mean, seeing as this is a Nick Cage podcast, we should like talk about what he does in this film. So he plays Dixie's brother who wants to be a gangster, like wants to get in with Dutch. And uses Dixie's like random happenstance of meeting Dutch to like get on the payroll.
Yeah, he's just gotten married to Jennifer Grey of Ferris Bueller fame.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then disappears for a good chunk of the movie. Then comes back demanding a bigger take to be like a partner. You know?
Yeah, you see him every once in a while and he's kind of just muscle. So you see like his muscle and he's like, oh, I need more money because he shot some people. So he's like, there's a little bit of reasoning for why he's coming back for more money.
I mean, I knew he was in the background, but like, you know, like he's not.
Yeah, but our listeners don't watch these movies.
And we barely describe what happens in these films.
We kind of do sometimes. Yeah. It's better when we have a guest that we can make do it.
Oh, man. Yeah, they talk good.
They talk pretty someday.
But then, you know, Nick Cage's little sidekick gets killed. So he has his boys mow down Frenchie's Dutch's right hand man. Couple kids get killed. I was like, holy shit, they killed kids.
Oh, yeah. And then, one of those kids, Sofia Coppola.
Oh, tight.
Yeah. Josie was. We think it is. Yeah. She was listed in the credits for like
Corpse
Girl on Street or something that.
She's the one who sold an apple.
Yeah.
She didn't get shot.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Maybe she got shot.
Wait. Okay. So here's where I got really confused with this movie. So Cage's buddy gets killed. I got that part.
Okay.
That was Bob Hoskins man who did it, or was that Dutch's man who did it?
That was Dutch's man.
But he works for Dutch.
Yeah, but he was clearly not in Dutch's favor, especially after he crumpled up the 150 and threw it back at him. And
he was going to get shot by Dutch. He's a psycho. So then he kills that dude, but then steals Frenchie.
Yeah.
Why? Why wouldn't you keep fucking with? But that's a different dude. Frenchie doesn't work for Dutch.
It was about the money. He just wants to be a gangster. That's all it is. He's not smart.
He's dumb.
Yeah, he was a dumb character. Yeah. Like that character was not.
Well, like both this and Rumblefish kind of exist in this whole, the end of like a criminal era. Like Rumblefish, it was the end of like, you know, street youths fighting. This is kind of the end of kind of gangland gangster era. And Nick Cage is, he wants to be a part of that. He idolizes it, even though it's not really what he thinks it is, and it ultimately gets him killed because he kind of treats it like a game and then gets mowed down real bad.
Yeah.
Tommy gunned.
In a phone booth.
In a phone
hard booth. To get out of a phone booth. Can't defend yourself. Door's too silly.
It's true.
Well, I really did appreciate, so he gets like referred to as a mad dog in the press. He's like this hated criminal. But time you see either Dutch's men or
you can just call them the Dutchmen.
The Dutchmen or Oni's Hoskins men. Anytime they walk into a place and they're about to do a hit, they like tell the staff to get out or to get down. Like they give people nods. Like it's very those assassinations are very
Columbine-esque of like, hey, don't go to school today. Sorry, I've been watching a lot of Columbine videos.
Ugh, why?
Yeah. That's a terrible response.
As good
response.
An answer as you can give, I suppose.
I don't even know what started it, but then, like, obviously YouTube, like, you watch one video of something kind of obscure, and they're like, have I got the playlist for you? And it's like, well,
how flat is this earth?
Not as flat as you'd think, but
pretty fucking flat. Yeah. Why are you not allowed to fly over Antarctica?
Yeah.
Makes you wonder.
It's not science. I'll tell you that for free.
Ice wall.
I forgot where I was with that. But yeah, Nick Cage.
We weren't going anywhere.
Yeah, Nick Cage got into Nicolas in Cage's film. Death in this.
Yeah. That's a pretty good
I did
death.
Like that he had like a handful of Skittles or whatever the fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Were.
He had like some hard jelly candies beans. From the bar and died. And it was just blood and Skittles.
Yeah.
So romantic, that death.
Yeah. Mm, sure.
I mean, like not romantic as in like heart throbbing romantic, but like,
I mean, his wife was there to witness it.
The way it was shot, the filming.
Yeah. So I just want to say, like, I've not watched a lot of Coppola's films prior to like these, and especially seeing like Rumblefish and this back to back, just the amount of stagecraft, the love of like, I want to say practical effects, but that's not what I mean because it's the early 80s, but just the love of like stagecraft and.
Right. Location sets and things like that.
Location sets, like all of that stuff that very much harkens to like live theater performance is so well done and so beautiful. And I just love all of it.
Yeah. This is definitely a cinematic experience that speaks more to kind of like that. Well, it's an experience kind of film. So when I guess this is what filmmakers would be talking about when they criticize Marvel movies and say like, cinema is dead.
Mm.
It's like, I mean,
get it.
They're totally, they're different for sure.
Yeah.
But blockbusters have never been put up against like art films either. It's like, that's a stupid way to compare movies. Yeah. Your summer movies versus your indie films. Fucking get out of here, Scorsese.
I did read that apparently the original version of this had, I think, 4 more musical numbers. And focused much more on Sandman and his brother and the relationship with what's her name, Lila. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the studios were like, we want less that.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, boo.
I think that might have been the version I saw, because that version did come out in like 2019.
Yeah, there was like a special cut. So, yeah, it's possible that you did. And maybe that's why my audio sucked shit and yours was better.
I think I just had normal audio.
Did yours have credits for Francis Ford Coppola or Francis Coppola?
That was the end of the film. I don't know.
He's in the beginning, too. He's a director.
Hold on. Was this on B Words, P Word?
Yes. We'll cut this part out.
No, I like it better if we just talk about B Words, P Word.
Yeah, we'll keep B Words, P Word in.
That's where you watched yours?
Yeah.
Where did you watch yours?
Not that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was all on top of the B Words, P Word.
Yeah. I still have had a hard time getting any of that to work for me ever.
Really?
So, I don't try that hard.
Well, that's fair.
I can't fast forward as well on there. I can't double speed the same way I want. You know,
yeah,
TapShoes on double speed? Amazing.
Holy shit.
So fast. It's a Tommy gun.
Yeah.
So can we just say, like, later on in the film, we see Vera's, which is like the club Dutch bot for his side piece. So much less interesting than the Cotton Club.
Yeah, it's boring. It's whitewashed, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I really enjoyed watching, like, through the years that the film takes place, the improvements done on the Cotton Club.
Yeah.
Like, you get the, you know, strip lights on the floor and everything. And
who are those murals, though?
Oh.
Yeah.
I understand this is a period piece, but
yeah. Yeah. I did like the Cab Calloway, Minnie the Moocher. That was good.
Which that was just
I
like
just always think about Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers. Yeah. I was just like, I just watched that. I'm like, do I have time to watch Blues Brothers before the podcast?
Yeah. Just cram that in there. Yes.
I watch that movie at least once a year. That's one of my favorite all time films.
Really? It's a great movie.
I like it. I think I've only watched it once in my life, but I don't rewatch a lot of things in my life.
I don't either. Just Nick Cage movies and
generally
that.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose at this point, too, we don't have to watch as many Nick Cage movies again and again.
No, there's more.
Our concept has changed.
There's more room in my life for sword and sorcery.
Ooh.
I do love a good sword and sorcery.
We talk about your masturbation habits enough.
Nope. There's never too much.
Did you ever play the I think it's an iPhone game, Sword and Sorcery? Sword and Sorcery.
Sword and Sorcery.
It's pretty good.
No.
Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery.
Okay.
Yeah. Not bad. It's
I weird. Don't play a lot of mobile games.
Yeah. But, I don't either usually, but it's like a weird.
That weird one art scratches game. That itch.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
What's it like? Is it kind of like the old. What was that arcade game? Gauntlet or whatever. Like,
I know exactly what you're talking about. Dragon's Lair was.
No, we all know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking
about. It's fine. There was a Gauntlet arcade game.
Golden
Gauntlet. Yeah, like, not Gauntlet.
Oh, just
yeah,
called no, Gauntlet. No,
Gauntlet. Maybe just
I Gauntlet. Do know that game. Yeah.
Where there were different classes and stuff you could choose. And
yeah,
shit.
I only played that on NES.
Really?
I was terrible at it.
Oh, I wonder if I could get an emulator on my phone for that. Because I would play that. That'd be fucking rad, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm about to get so much less work done.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if I can play the game without fucking Wi-Fi.
Play fucking Kid Icarus and all that shit. Hell yeah. You know what game I would play right now? Bubble Bobble.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'd bubble some bobble.
That wasn't a constant one in my life. I didn't play a lot of that. My formative years were around Altered Beast.
Ooh,
rise from your grave.
That game fucking slaps, dude.
That was Sega, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That was a good game.
Power up.
So that was what? There was like the chick, there was the barbarian, and there was the dwarf.
Was there a dwarf?
I don't remember. Maybe I'm thinking of a different thing.
I think it was just like the two.
I might be thinking of a different game.
Did you like ever run around in like their underwear with some chains and then you get like a power up and you kind of like go out slightly like canthropic or whatever? And then like,
I'm going to look this up.
And then you get another one and then you're like a full wearman.
Did you ever?
I'm thinking of a different game. Never mind.
Did you ever play the Dungeons and Dragons like beat 'em up, like arcade beat 'em up?
I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Like it was a Dungeons and Dragons arcade beat 'em up from like, I want to say Konami. Like it was a Japanese game.
Was it the animated series characters? So it's just children beating each other.
Original characters, but you leveled up, like you got experience, you leveled up, you collected items. Like they really kind of took the theme.
Wow, this sounds a lot like Shaq Fu. Like there's a story and like you kind of get better.
But the story doesn't.
Yeah, but the story doesn't because you're Shaq. Because
it's Shaq Fu, right?
I fucking love Shaq Fu.
So bad.
Do you remember? Oh man, Shaq was hot for a minute. Do you remember weird. Do you remember when Shaq had the like Arizona like cream sodas or whatever, and it was like the Soda Shaq brand?
No.
Oh man, and they were giant cans with Shaq on them. Yeah. Well, I mean, they were Arizona tea sized cans. Be big, yeah.
You know.
Fucking still 99 cents.
I just remember when they tried to make him a movie star.
Oh, dude. Man of Steel is still great, and so is Kazam.
Is it?
I've never watched Steel all the way through, but it's based on the DC character. Does Superman exist in that universe?
I haven't watched it since theaters. I watched it in theater.
Yeah.
Oh boy. I think that came. Did that come out the same year as Joe's Apartment?
Oh, probably.
Because that's the year that my parents sent me down to LA to hang out with my uncle. And he just didn't know what to do with us at work. So he was just like, because he was like a photographer. And he's like, I can't have these fucking kids around. I rent half my
2 years apart.
2 years
or sorry,
apart.
1 year apart.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he'd be like, I don't know what to do with these kids. I rent half my fucking studio to a porn shop or a porn studio. And so he would just drop us off at the theater in the morning. And we're like 12-year-old kids from rural Oregon. And he drops us off at a megaplex in Los Angeles. He's like, I'll be back in 6 hours.
Enjoy Joe's Apartment and whatever else is out right now.
He'd give us money for one ticket. This is my ultra conservative, like Rush Limbaugh listening uncle who looks like a shorter, fatter Michael Moore. And he'd drop us off at the theater and he'd be like, here's enough money for one ticket each. I'll see you in 6 hours. So I can't tell you how many times I went back and forth just watching Joe's Apartment. Like I'd start some movie and it's like, this movie sucks. I'm going to go. God, my dad's calling me. It's like he knows I'm talking about the family. And then I just always go back to Joe's Apartment.
I got a real fun fact. For the kid from Kazam is now just, his career is just playing like scuzzy mid-level bad guys and things.
Perfect.
Really? Like, what was his last scuzzy mid-level bad guy role?
He's in a bunch of Veronica Mars.
Never seen it. Josie would know.
He was in some Bones.
Josie would know.
Yeah. He was in Blue Bloods. He just plays a gangster. He just plays
So he's a TV gangster.
He's a TV gangster, yes. But he plays like ethnic adjacent gangster, like ethnically ambiguous gangster.
Oh, he's the new Ben Kingsley. Ethnically kind of ambiguous gangster.
All right. Box office
for July 1996. July. So like a big banger summer hit, 96. Superstar actors. Well, one and then one like that is now super considered to be a great actor.
Cool World.
No. Big sci-fi shenanigan. Aliens invade Earth.
Is it Mars Attacks?
No. It's the other one that's not funny.
Independence Day?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. All right.
Who was the big actor in that? Jeff Goldblum? Because he was already huge. Fucking Earth, Woman, or Easy? Come on.
Yeah. Will Smith was the big actor for that one, but Jeff Goldblum was like the good get.
The rapper Will Smith?
The guy from Parents Just Don't Understand?
He's rapping again. He put out a new album.
Yeah, he did.
It's bad.
Apparently, there's a great music video for it.
It's bad.
Yeah.
So
I never cared for his rapping. And to be real, if I have to listen to Summertime one more time, like it's only July 3rd. If I have to hear Summertime one more time on the radio,
So relevant for us, number 7 was The Rock.
Okay.
So you maybe went and saw that after you saw Joe's Apartment.
It's possible.
Joe's Apartment is not on this list.
That does not surprise me.
Number 11, Multiplicity.
That's because you didn't give it all your money, Nick.
I remember seeing Multiplicity.
Yeah. Did you see Eraser?
Eraser, not
with
that summer.
With Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. What about Phenomenon with Travolta?
I mean, I've seen these films, yeah, but not when I was 11.
Right. Striptease, probably missed that one.
Yeah, I saw Striptease in theaters. Well, in a drive-in, my dad took us to see Lion King and Blank Check as a double feature, but Striptease was playing on the screen behind us, so none of the kids were paying attention to the fucking reasonable Lion King. Nobody cared about Simba's story.
Incredible.
Wait, did I already say Kazam was 12?
No.
Okay,
no.
So Kazam was 12.
Wow.
And then later Mission Impossible, and then Dragonheart, which is what I saw for my birthday that year.
Kazam outperformed Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible came out earlier.
Oh, okay.
So it's still riding high. Yeah, it's tailing off.
I was going to be like, are you fucking giving me Shaq got a higher opening weekend than Tom Cruise?
Yeah, no, not the case.
Unfortunate.
Joe's Apartment.
It was such a shit movie.
Oh, it's a terrible movie. Kevin O'Connell's a terrible actor.
But all those cockroaches, man.
Yeah.
Great.
That part was good.
Great characters.
I miss Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, Bob Hoskins is great.
I mean, let's talk about him.
His character is great in this.
Also, Shmi. Great Shmi.
Oh, he was a good... Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Amazing.
That's a great, great performance. Bob Hoskins rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also in this movie, he rules. Like, he's a bad guy and everyone knows he's a bad guy, but everyone's also like, nah, he's all right. I kind of like that guy.
I love at the end of this movie, he's just like, yeah, I'm going to get out while the getting's good. Going to just go back to jail for 6 months and go own a horse farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Frenchie hooked him up. He's like,
yeah,
you're going to love what we got you in Sing Sing. You know,
yeah, it's carpeted or whatever he said.
Better than whatever you've been dealing with. Ah. Man, Frenchie.
Yeah.
What a dude.
Fucking baller, dude.
Oh, wait. We didn't talk about, and I feel like we have to mention, the knife to the throat scene.
Oh, yeah. Frenchie's real, like, exhibition of insanity. Where
Duchess.
Yeah, Duchess. Sorry. Frenchie's cool.
Yeah.
When Dutch, like, just
knifes a guy through the throat.
Gets on that guy for telling a joke. Granted, a racist and anti-Semitic joke, but.
Well, he was also, like, Dutch's former like rival in the
he was competition.
Yeah. And they just, and Hoskins just brokered peace and Dutch loses it. And like knife through the back, like front of the throat, back of the throat.
Yeah.
Yeah. My note was, oh damn, throat stab.
Yeah. I started this movie last night kind of late. And I was just like, I don't know if I'm getting into this tonight. Then like, you know, knife to the throat. I'm like, all right, let's see where this goes.
Yeah, Dutch was an interesting character. I mean, I don't think we have to spend a ton of time on it, but like James Remar plays a psycho really fucking well.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
He's played a bad guy in I think every movie I've ever seen. And
he's
it's like
got the face.
He's got the like his jaw just goes down. He's pissed off and you can tell he's pissed, you know. It's like he's gonna fucking stab you with a knife or like a piece of bone from a ham or something, and you're like, I'm not gonna fuck around with that guy. I like that he gets killed in a urinal.
Yeah,
well, kind of.
Well, he was taking a leak and yeah, he got shot. He did wander out.
Yeah, he dies at the table, but like arguably iced at a urinal.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, like another like weirdly anticlimactic scene. Like he just gets, he, you know, threatens to get Dixie, then 5 minutes later is gunned down in a bathroom, and that, and then that story's over.
Yeah.
I
resolution, man.
The amount of like overkill in that scene was impressive to me. It's like they shoot those dudes in the head, like very effectively. And then they shoot him a bunch and he's presumably dead, and they walk out, and then they Tommy gun everybody a whole bunch to make sure that the bullet in the brain didn't do it.
Yeah.
Probably destroy evidence, just make it look a lot messier, send a message.
Destroy evidence.
Yeah. I mean, less
well,
like
we want to know which bullet did it.
Exactly.
It's not a professional hit.
That's true.
Amateurs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just all have these perfect circles in their foreheads.
Also, you buy a fucking Tommy gun, you use a fucking use a Tommy gun.
That's true.
Like, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, with both this and Rumblefish, like, the weird attention to gory detail in terms of bullet wounds is impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, Coppola's weird. That's my final take on all of this. It's like, Coppola's weird. Apparently, he makes weird movies. Very artsy movies. I have not seen Megalopolis. I don't know. It's a long weekend. Maybe I'll...
I kind of want to now.
Yeah. I'll try it someday, but...
I feel like that needs to be a Tenet movie where we try and watch it together.
Yeah, but it's 4 hours.
Well, we can watch it backwards.
That's a lot of trying to hang out together all at once.
That's true. That is a lot. I like these in 1 hour segments.
Yeah, like this isn't fucking...
We'll hang out 1 hour a week for a month.
Oh, man, we need to do an Ice Pirates podcast.
Yeah, just continuously watching Ice Pirates.
Yes.
And I'm always hungover as shit. God, yeah. I felt like death that day. But it was the right movie. It was the right movie for the day.
The set, I love the cinematography. I enjoy all of the performances individually. I'm never going to rewatch this movie for the plot.
You can just say I'm never going to rewatch this movie. That's fine
forever.
Too.
But there are definitely scenes I'm going to watch again. I'm going to watch the end of this movie again. I'm going to watch a lot of like the Cotton Club, like performances again. Like there are aspects of this movie just visually I want to see again. I don't give a fuck about the plot of this film.
Yeah. I could easily take this as I'll never watch this movie again, but I enjoyed it more than Rumblefish.
See, I'm going to watch Rumblefish again. I really liked Rumblefish.
Yeah, that's fine. What you do in Oregon, you can do in Oregon.
Yeah. Nick Cage drag show.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to go to that Nick Cage drag show.
I have tickets. I bought tickets immediately.
Perfect.
So for the listeners, if you live in the Portland area, Clinton Street Theater on the 24th of July, Uncaged, a Nicolas Cage drag show. So that's going to be fucking wild.
Yeah. Try to figure out which one is Sean.
I really hope that somebody shows up as the character from Zandali when he shows up. Johnny, Jimmy, Johnny, whatever. And he shows up and he does that thing.
His
hair just backlit.
Somebody, I need to find this clip again. Somebody shared a video with me of a semi-renowned drag king who does a Nick Cage themed performance, and I can't remember the song, but the word or the letter B, the word B was prominent in the song, but every time that lyric came up, it would just be like bees, the bees.
Was it how do I live without bees? Oh god, no. The bees. How do I live? Is that it?
No.
Oh, that song sucks then.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, our song kicks ass.
Yeah, sorry you have a bad song, Sean.
Old bad song, Sean. Yeah.
So, okay, last thing, because we haven't done this in a while, the Cage performance grid.
Mm.
Good movie, good Cage, bad, good, good, bad, 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 good, bad. Good,
close enough. I think Nick Cage is pretty good in this. Like I said, this is the first time in kind of the start of his career where we see, you know, the hints of that character actor, and, you know, mm-hmm. he doesn't have a lot of screen time, but he uses it well. And I'm like, yeah, that's Nick Cage. I like it.
Yeah, I agree. I think Nick Cage does really well. I think it's I'll even say it's a pretty good movie. You have to want that kind of movie.
Yeah. If you're in the mood for this, I mean, it's long. It's.
Yeah. The plot meanders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
I don't remember the last time I thought about Richard Gere outside of like romantic comedies.
The last time I thought about Richard Gere was when we recorded Rumblefish, and I thought he was in The Outsiders because I was reading about Cotton Club earlier.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that's the last time I thought about Richard Gere. Yeah.
I used to have a. Oh, God, what was that like? So there was a some kind of like form of media that looked like giant records.
You're talking about Laserdisc?
No, they weren't like Laserdiscs. They looked like vinyl records, but they were on these weird cassette things that were record, like slightly larger than a record and inserted.
Whoa.
And I don't know what it is, but I used to have a copy of Breathless on that that I just kept because for some reason there was a part of my identity that was like, oh, that's Nick. He likes Richard Gere movies. This was like at the height of his like gerbil butt scandal.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, Nick's big on gerbil butt. Like, he didn't do it. And if he did, that's his business.
So Patreon supporter Josh, tell us what media Nick is talking about, because I don't know.
I might still have it. This is the sort of thing that I probably never got rid of. I'll look around.
Yeah. All right.
I forgot about the gerbil thing.
No, oh, I never forget about the gerbil thing. Whether it's true or not, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Whenever somebody says, when was the last time you thought about Richard Gere? I'm like, immediately I'm thinking about the gerbil thing gerbil right ass, now. Whether ass. God, I love the early free internet where anything goes.
Oh, yeah. No yeah. fact checking. You can say it's whatever like, you want.
I'm sorry for all the people now. That were hurt by it.
Well, that's a good point.
Well, it's easier to disprove things at this point. But like, this is.
Is it?
Yeah, because there's just more sites that are dedicated to disproving stuff. But like back in the early 2000s, if somebody on the internet was like, hey, this famous guy shoved a gerbil in his butt, literally there aren't sites being like, Richard Gere didn't do that. Like the best you could get is like a quote being, or like if he even deigned to respond to this sort of thing.
Unlikely.
Yeah. Of like, I didn't put a gerbil in my butt. Like, that's the best you can get. Easily disprovable things is just like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to leave Breitbart and I'm going to look at Snopes.
I don't know. What was the last thing Richard Gere did?
I don't care.
Put a gerbil in his butt. Yeah. Like, we just discussed gerbil this. Butt. Like, that's literally, that's what just happened. Had a tight mustache
and then shoved a gerbil in his ass.
Yeah. I think he's in a constant state of ass gerbiling, and that's fine. That's his thing. Leave the man alone. Yeah. Leave Richard alone.
What if he has like, you know, the tubes that you would put a gerbil in a cage? What if he has absolutely. That just like from his ass through to like an outlet port?
What if, hold on and stay with me on this one.
Yeah, I'm riding.
What if every morning the gerbil tubes into his butt like a daily commute, sits down at a desk and just pumps out like whatever a Richard Gere ass gerbil does for 8 hours. And then at the end of the day, Richard goes back, just beep, 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 backs up into the tube and the gerbil comes out like little punch card, like clocks out for the day.
It's a tough business, but you know, it's a living.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to.
Oh, that's all, folks.
No, I'm going to pivot. I'm going to. There's one last thing I want to do.
Do it.
I want to pitch a new Nicolas Cage film.
Oh, Lord.
I want a sequel to The Rock. I want it to feature Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery's daughter from the film. Mm-hmm. And I want them to escape from alligator Alcatraz.
Okay.
There's flooding. There's gators. There's weird swamp men. It's perfect.
Yeah, it tracks. I like it.
She's probably getting deported because her dad was illegally in the country.
It's true. Yeah.
And her birthright citizenship has been removed.
Yeah. Villainous president. This is great.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. Trump orders a nuke to be dropped on Florida because he's a fucking idiot. Yeah,
exactly. Well, if you want to support us making this movie, you can support us on Patreon at Cage Match.
We're doing this now.
Yeah, we are. thank you to our Sparkle buddies, Josh, Josie, Rico, Matt, Adam, Bill, and Stuart. And to our Cage Dancers, Ira, John, Nathan, and Cameron. Stuart.
Bill.
Stuart. Bill.
Also, another good quote from this movie is, oh shit, what's in that bugle case? Bugle.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to have to circle back to this when we talk about Spider-Man now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we'll have a flashback. Hey, Peter.
Remember to put this in later.
Hey, current Peter. Remember to tell future Peter to flashback to previous Peter.
Yeah, okay. I'll do my best.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
That's we got to keep this thing going for probably at least 2 more years until the final Spider-Verse movie comes out, since Nick Cage is in that.
Yeah, I think that's probably about where we'll die.
Yeah.
The heat death of this podcast and my brain.
Neat.
Yeah.
Huh.